This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
O come, Emmanuel. God with us, God within us. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts, our souls, our very beings. Set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So you know how it is when you're with certain people sometimes, and they just have a peacefulness about them or a joy. And then maybe later, you remember that, and you say to yourself, there's just something about that encounter, something that made me feel better. And maybe you look back on it, and you honor their way of being because of how it made you feel when you were with them, or maybe you honor their way of being because something in you felt a little jealous. Maybe you wanted to feel like they were feeling, or how you thought they were feeling. I know in my own life, when I have been feeling down about something and I was around someone who seemed to have it all together, real joyful or real peaceful, I felt jealousy. But I wish that I felt, I wish I had what they had. And somehow it still comforted me to know that they felt that way. Maybe you honored their way of being because you recognized something that was about peace, that was about love, that was about God. Noticing and recognizing the divine, even if you didn't call it that. There are many examples of that in our church this past week, I'm happy to say. And there's many, 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 but I want to point out just a few. As I mentioned in my announcements, Pat Shanley is an elderly woman who is a former nun. And year after year after year after year, every single Sunday, she's here at the crack of dawn, setting up for our 2 coffee hours, doing it all herself. She makes those great grilled bagels and has them all ready. She even comes on Saturday to get everything out of the freezer. And this time she's been having, the last 2 weeks, been having some medical issues. She is a saint in our midst, and now people from our church are reaching out to her. It's the divine in action, making sure she gets to the doctor, making sure she has food, making sure her dogs are taken care of. 2 people even went in and cleaned her house. Recognition of the divine to the divine. Another example I see all the time, my downstairs neighbors, also elderly, have a developmentally delayed adult son. And they care for him without stop, and they will for the rest of their lives until they cannot do so anymore. Their compassion and their love for him is the divine in action. Charles Milling posted a picture this week of another divine person, Lindell Mason. She turned 84 this week, and we celebrate her birthday. We celebrate her life. After coming from Jamaica, she's now here, and she sews with our Sassy Sewer. She has quite a story, but she wanted to keep it private. I did ask her. Talk to her sometime. Maybe she'll tell you. But what I can tell you is that she has been sewing with our women's sewing group for some time, and the clothes that she makes goes to abused children and to other charities. And she does it all without any glory. She just does it. This divine action in our midst. And those are just a few. I'm sure you see it too. In the most profound way, Elizabeth saw the divine in Mary 2,000 years ago. Elizabeth, way, way, way too old to be carrying a child at all, had become pregnant after her and her husband, also elderly, had wanted children, and they were blessed with the pregnancy of what would be John the Baptist. So she's 6 months pregnant, and Mary comes to visit her, and it was quite a trek, probably a couple of days it would take her to get to visit Elizabeth. And Elizabeth didn't know she was coming. Mary had to come to her and tell her the good news because she had now been visited by the angel Gabriel, who told her that she would conceive and bear a son, and that she would call him Jesus, and that he would be the Messiah. And so she ran with haste, it says, to tell her cousin about this. It's just women to women wanting to share this amazing news. She just had to tell somebody, walks in the door, and Elizabeth recognized the divine in Mary because the babe within her womb leapt. Now, women, those of you who have been pregnant, you know what that's like, right? When you're pregnant, like 6-7 months, and this baby is moving all over. Well, this wasn't just a kick. It was a leap, she says. Listen to how this poet describes it. This is Anne Guidenhammer, and she calls this poem Visitation, and it's from Elizabeth's point of view. And she, don't let it confuse you, she calls Mary Miriam at one point in the poem. So, I was months into the heaviness of child carrying, sway-backed and swollen, and my husband, mute as an old stone, so that I heard it all the louder when Miriam's shout reached me from the dust-choked road outside. I raced out to see her standing there, glowing with sweat, her body just beginning to take on a mother's curves beneath her robes. And then the child that nestled sweet beneath my heart leapt, not a simple turning, not a kick, but jumped as if some new and secret joy had set him dancing. And it was then I knew who it was she bore within herself. Later, some would call it solemn and grand. But truthfully, we laughed as we embraced, breast to breast, cheek to smiling cheek. And I know that both our sons were laughing too, in that way of old friends meeting after years, when all time seems as nothing, and the space between lives collapses into grace. Beautiful, huh? That's how it is with Christ now appearing in our midst, in the way we show compassion and kindness to one another. That's how Christ is showing up. And the more we recognize it, the more it is enhanced. There's an old story from long ago by a man by the name of Dan Clark, just a wee little story that I love to tell. And it's about this little boy who was 6 or 7, and it was a really cold, cold early evening. And he's standing in front of a store, and he's peeking through the window, has his nose pressed against the glass. And a young woman walked by outside and saw that he didn't have any shoes on and that his clothes were all tattered and torn. And she went up to him and greeted him and said, "Come on, we'll get you some shoes." And she took him inside. She bought him a pair of shoes and a full suit of clothes and a warm winter coat. And he went back outside, and she said, "Now you can go home and be warm. Have a happy holiday." The little boy looks up at her, and he says, "Ma'am, are you God?" And she says to him, "No, son, I'm just one of God's children." And he said, "Oh, I knew you were some relation." We are all called to be bearers of the living Christ, recognizing Christ in others, especially when someone's in need or oppressed or too proud or powerful, hungry, persecuted. After Elizabeth proclaimed the greatness in Mary, the blessedness of Mary, as the God-bearer, the Theotokos, as it's called, Mary sang a song that reminded her of a song that she would have heard from her throughout her Hebrew scripture that she knew very well, most likely, like the song of Hannah, the song of Deborah, the song of Miriam after crossing the Red Sea. And it was a song from the lowly, from the meek, especially from a woman in those days. They were kind of the marginalized ones. And here comes Mary, young, a woman, poor, an unwed mother, she who would be outcast because of her condition, runs to her cousin, and her cousin recognizes the divine. And so she has to sing a song. She can't help but sing it. And we know it today as the Magnificat. And that was the last half of the gospel that I read. She was crying in joy for God, her Savior. We are called not only to be bearers of the living Christ, but to see it in one another. And now we just have to act like it. We just have to act like it. Think how good it feels for you to come here and just to be able to be. That's one of the reasons that we come to church. You can just come, you sit, you're fed, you can praise God. Maybe you're sitting next to somebody that you have never met before in your life. And the judgment can drop, the competition can drop, and we come united, united in Christ, to just be. When the outside world would try to hijack our Advent and Christmas, it's a way that we say no, and that love is powerful, much more powerful than any fear, than any fear. We sit. We praise God, we worship, and we put out our hands and receive the bread and the fruit of the vine and consume it, knowing that it is God within us to take out to a hurting world because we've shared this love with one another. God is in our midst everywhere. There's a story that we tell every once in a while at this time of the year that you may have heard before, but it's worth repeating. It's called The Messiah in Disguise. High in the mountains was a monastery that had once been known throughout the world. Its monks were pious. Its students were enthusiastic and joyful. The chants from the monastery's chapel deeply touched the hearts of people who came there to pray and to meditate. But something changed. Fewer and fewer young men came to study there. Fewer and fewer people came for spiritual nourishment. The monks who remained became disheartened and sad. Deeply worried, the abbot of the monastery went off in search of an answer. Why had his monastery fallen on such hard times? Well, the abbot went to a guru, and he asked the master, "Is it because of some sin of ours that the monastery is no longer full of vitality?" "Yes," replied the master, "it is the sin of ignorance." "The sin of ignorance?" questioned the abbot. "Of what are we ignorant?" The guru looked at the abbot for a long, long time, and then he said, "One of you is the Messiah in disguise, but you're all ignorant of this." Then the guru closed his eyes, and he was silent. "The Messiah?" thought the abbot. "The Messiah is one of us? How could that be? Who could it be? Maybe Brother Treasurer? Could it be Brother Cook? Brother bell ringer? Could it be brother vegetable grower? Every one of us has faults and failings and human defects. Isn't the Messiah supposed to be perfect? Oh, well, maybe the faults and failings are part of the disguise. Who could it be?" When the abbot returned to the monastery, he gathered all the monks together and he told them what the master had said. "One of us? The Messiah? How impossible." But the master had spoken, and the master was never wrong. Whichever one of the monks was the Messiah, he was surely in disguise. So not knowing who amongst them was the Messiah, all the monks began treating each other with new respect. "You never know," they thought. "He might be the one, so I'd better deal with him kindly." And it was not long before the monastery was filled with a newfound joy. Soon new students came to learn. They were welcomed so heartily. And people came from far and wide to be inspired by the chants of the kind, smiling monks. For once again, the monastery was filled with the spirit of love. May you be expectant with the love of Christ within you this week before Christmas. And maybe, just maybe, may you feel the stirrings of that new life within you. Amen.